Science Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to Messiah's Branch Prophecy. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is March 28, 2019. But we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice for Yeshua tonight. If you need help after the program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, number, prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, 620-878-4682. In an emergency, please text. It's my because, you know, I get all those weird calls like you're all getting them. In an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. You're more likely to get an answer if you text me first. You can always find updates with the breaking news, Wichita Mission Church radio program archives, contact information, everything at our ministry hub, which is very simply prophecyhour.com. And by the way, folks, I do have, if anybody knows anything about WordPress box, I've got my old website that I need to get updated, and I'm praying somebody can help. Anyway, we're a national satellite radio program which is simulcast live internationally. It's live on YouTube. It's on some FM stations, so please pray about sporting airtime. On another note, let's thank our listener base. That's worldwide in places like Kampala and Uganda, Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, Dudley, United Kingdom, Paris, France, and, of course, cities in the United States such as Plano, Texas, Boston, Massachusetts, Mesa, Arizona, and Raleigh, North Carolina. These are just a few. Wichita, Kansas still remains the largest group of listeners when our programs, when they go to podcast later tonight. And sometimes Raleigh will get real close to them. Once in a while, Washington, D.C. will do it, and I just guess the folks over there in the government are listening to us, all I can think of. Anyway, follow us and share us at Twitter at Pastor Dan Catlin at Brant77. Now, prayer will bring on tonight's guest. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will, not our will, Father. Help us do radio tonight. Give everyone out there ears in which to hear and understand the truth. Father, lift the veil from their eyes and their hearts and their ears, Father. So in your Son, Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name, amen and amen. Well, folks, before I bring on a guest, something I just had to bring up. I was going to bring it up with my wife in the previous program, and it was a pretty good program we did tonight, so listen to that one too, also. But anyway, I came across an article about tsunami disaster drills, and so I went and Googled tsunami disaster drills, and I was really amazed at what popped up that went along with the article. This article was talking about how all over the world, to them at least, it seemed like all of a sudden the whole world was having disaster drills, you know, tsunami, disaster drills, Europe. Yeah, because it makes you want to Europe, huh? Right? Okay. Anyway, sorry, folks in Europe. Anyway, Europe, Israel, the East Coast and West Coast of the United States, Aruba, India, the Virgin Islands, Japan. Well, on a short look, it looks like most of the world that has a coast are either getting ready to have a tsunami drill or have just had tsunami drills or, you know, scheduled. It really seems highly unusual. Do they expect something that we don't know? I don't know, but we should pray about it is what I think. We should be ready at all costs for everything because we are in that time of the end. The way that people are acting, they say good is bad and bad is good. The word tells us about that. every day step closer, it seems, towards building a temple in Israel. What is going on? You know, but I do know that if we pray for this country and we pray for our president, it seems that things are turning around. On that note, we've got a couple of subjects tonight. I'm not really sure where our next guest is going to go with all this. The guest, of course, is Frank Stephan. We like to have him on once or twice a month because Frank's pretty frank about everything. And let's just bring Frank Stephan on, who has his own program called, what? The Frank Report. Are you there, Frank?
I am, Dan.
Yeah, amen. Which of these wonderful goings-on would you like to talk about? Would you like to talk about Smell It or Small It or I guess, I don't know, his name, or about the Trump thing? I mean, both are pretty big news.
Well, and they're kind of intertwined anymore.
Well, really, tell us. Tell us.
Well, Trump has, made it clear now that he expects the Justice Department to investigate the Smollett case. The Chicago police union has asked that the federal government investigate what the heck went on because, as we, well, most people probably may know or may not know, because it wasn't front page news, so they might not know, Smollett's, the charges against him have all been dropped. Okay?
Wow.
He did a little plea deal, and he has to do community service, and that's it. That's all. For faking a hate crime. Now, what would have happened if we wouldn't have found out what he did, that he lied? What if? And now he gets to walk around and say, I told the truth the whole time. I told the truth the whole time. You know, I mean, this needs to be investigated. It's a hate crime, okay? Now, let me explain that, because it's a hate crime. And people say, well, no, it ain't, because, you know, it was a fake, right? It wasn't a hate crime. It was a fake hate crime. No, it was a hate crime. He did what he said he did, only he did it to himself. He hired people to do things to him. This is a hate crime. He committed it against himself, but then again, hey, guess what? Suicide's illegal too, isn't it?
Yeah, let me say, I have something absolutely. It's a hate crime, all right, because it's a hate crime against everybody else to stir up hatred, and so it's most definitely a hate crime. What I was going to have you point out was, now the Chicago police, they're not in on this, are they? They were pretty upset. In fact, they released the records real quick. Boy, they was working pretty fast, but they released the records, his records, on this case just right before they did what? What did they do to it? Expunge it? Seal it? What?
Well, you can't blame the, it is not the police, okay? It is not the Chicago police. They properly investigated this. They discovered this was a hoax. They have their findings on that. It is the district attorney's office that Michelle Obama sent her little fixer over there to get all this done. Okay, this is what happened, and the corruption is in the prosecutor. And it's no wonder, seeing as how Lisa Madigan runs the Department of Justice equivalent, whatever they call it in Illinois. The Madigan family is corrupt as the day is long, man. And, this needs to be investigated because this type of, this was an attempt to, you could call this sedition, okay?
Yeah.
Because he tried to create social upheaval.
Right.
He did. And that's what he was hoping for. Maybe he was even hoping for a race war. I don't know. But to let him go and say, just do community service, is just, it's unjust. It's not equal protection of the law. And, you know, it's just a violation in so many regards. And I'm glad that the feds are going to investigate it, although I don't have a whole lot of faith in them either.
Well, I haven't had, but that's a good point. But, you know, it kind of seems like that when – now, I don't really know much about Barr, you know, and I understand he was even – it was said, well, he's friends with Mueller. Okay.
Yeah,
but
that's
still – right. But still it seems like that after he did get into office that some things seemed like they started to tighten up. What do you think?
Well, the one thing about Barr is he's part of the swamp. I mean, he definitely is part of the swamp. He is best buddies with Mueller, but he is also a neocon Republican, okay? Now, that doesn't mean he's going to be doing Trump any favors, but it means that he's also not going to be doing the Democratic Party any favors, okay?
What's a neocon?
A new conservative, okay? It's what they like to call them, or what they've been labeled, because they're not really conservatives, okay? They're not a Barry Goldwater, okay, type of conservative. They are not a traditional conservative. So they call themselves neocons because, oh, we got a new conservatism, which looks a lot like socialism, but, hey, we're calling it neoconservatism. So, you know, there you go.
Right. I don't think anybody is very good. I mean, nothing. They need to relabel everything because none of them are like they used to be. You know what I'm saying?
Can you imagine? What do you think? Do you think, what if John F. Kennedy crawled himself out of the grave, dusted himself off, still looked good, sounded good, and everything else? You think the Democrats would let him even in their party? Heck no, they wouldn't let him in at all. He was far too conservative to be a Democrat today.
Well, you know, I honestly believe that it was Lyndon Johnson that was in it with the other people, CIA, mafia, whatever, that bumped him off. And so it was Democrats bumping off Democrats. So they killed him then. They'd get rid of him again, wouldn't they?
I think so. And the thing is that, you know, he offended, and it wasn't just the Democrats, okay? Because Lyndon Johnson was, I don't know, he's the definition of the swamp, all right? Okay, he was a dirtbag of the highest magnitude. Just look into
sure
it. Like. But the thing is, he was a Democrat, but Bush was a Republican, and he was involved in the assassination, too. They all wanted Kennedy gone. Why? Because Kennedy was a nationalist, all right? Kennedy cared about the United States of America. Sure, he did the Peace Corps. Oh, what do you mean? How can he be a nationalist? He did the Peace Corps. They send nice kids all over the world to try to help people. Yeah, he wanted to. Look, when I say nationalist, would anybody out there argue with the fact that Ben Franklin and, Thomas Jefferson and George Washington
were
nationalists,
right?
They cared about America first. But they still traded with foreign countries. Okay, they still traded with them. Look, they even said, look, hey, man, we'll be friends with any other country. We'll trade with you. We'll vacation there. You can vacation here. We're good buddies. But when you start
America,
to become a harm to us, you're not going to be welcome here anymore, as anybody is, because we have to take care of ourselves first, or we can't help anybody. That's a nationalist, folks. It doesn't mean I hate the rest of the world. I'm not going to do anything for anybody, and I'm, as a matter of fact, I'm going to go kill them all. That's not what a nationalist is. A nationalist just realizes in order for the United States, in order to be a help to anyone else, we have to be healthy ourselves. So that needs to be our first order of business, is to get healthy ourselves, and then we can start helping other people if we choose to. But if we're not healthy ourselves, we can't help anybody.
Right. I agree totally. And, you know, you can see that the other ones were, you know, under the guise of now, you know, we call it globalist. And I'm sure that it's been through many name changes. But globalist, I guess, is that's the name that sticks right now. But these guys are for one world government, ran, period, by the elites. And, you know, then there's only one other class of people. There's no middle class. There's the poor, and then there's the elites. And to me, that still goes back to the Illuminati, or whatever you want to call them.
It goes back even further than that. It goes all the way back to the Dark Ages. And that's really
it's a plot started in the Garden of Eden, if you want to know the truth of the matter.
Well, sure.
And, you know, of course it is. And so, yeah, it does go back. Sometime you should – you're pretty good at those kind of things. You should put it get together and give us a timeline of what it's went through, and we'll do a program on it.
Well, I honestly, sure. I've been on my show for a few years now, been pointing out that, you know, what we call globalism, and as you said, mm-hmm. that's the term now that we know what that point of view is, we call it globalism. But my point is that, well, that's what we call it now, just like we call Monsanto Bayer now. It's the same mess. It's the same monster. It's got a different name. That's all. You know, but the thing is, what we call globalism used to be called the Worldwide Communist Revolution.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, amen. But, you know, here's one thing what I believe, and I know to be true. Communism absolutely has been around a long time. It has not gone away. But I do believe that there, even above communism, there are people that are in power, the elite, that are even pulling their strings. I mean, how else can you explain them? They will, the same banks will loan money to both sides of a war. Now, that people go, well, what do you mean they let? Yeah, they give money to both sides of the war. They did it in World War One. They did it in World War Two. It's craziness, but they want to have order out of chaos. Communism is one of their methods for doing it, and is kind of maybe sort of the role model. Is that what they want completely? Is it going to be like communism if they win, or is it going to be something different?
What they want, okay, communism is just a tool to get where they really want. And, yeah, there are some people out there that are true communists and think that's the game, you know, the end game, right, to be all
right,
communist.
Right.
But it's not. The end game is to kill us all, okay? Well, not all of us, but like, you know, 7/8 of the world they want dead. And if you don't believe me, go read the UN documents. Look under sustainable growth, and also population control. Just go to the United Nations website, put those terms in there. That'll keep you busy for a few months reading all the ways they want to kill us. So
yeah,
the bottom line is the elite would like to go back to the good old days. And I just mentioned what they consider the good old days is the Dark Ages, because that's when the elite lived in the castle, they had all their knights, and they just went about living a happy, nice, full life as they sent their knights out to rob the people living on the land and take everything they have for their own benefit, okay? They forbid them to read. They forbid them to have Bibles. They forbid them anything. All they could do is dig in the dirt and grow things for the people living up in the castle. And that's what they want back.
Right, absolutely. Now, you know what? I was, let's see if it's still here. At the UN, the documents disappeared. But there's a document from 2000 that is called Migration Replacement, a Solution to Develop World Demographics. And actually, what it lays out in that document is replacement populations, because places like in the West, that their populations are falling off, and like in Europe, they want to put refugees in there so the population stays even and balanced, and everybody in that country doesn't die off. So they send in replacement populations. That's what's going on right now. This is actually a UN plot. And you know what? The people at the UN don't even control the UN, do they?
I have no idea, to tell you the truth, anymore. You know, we all throw around the name Soros. We used to throw around the name Rothschild. We used to throw around the name Rockefeller. You know, these front men come and go.
Right.
But it's the same game. They're all going by the same playbook over centuries. You know,
right.
And people point to the Illuminati, and I don't know if that's their tool or they're not their tool. It's just something boogeyman we can point at or what. But the fact of the matter is, I find it that it has to be, at least in my reasoning, that this has to be spiritual, because there is no way any of us, I mean, look at anything else. I mean, who else has followed ever in our history this multi-generational plan any multi-generational plan. Nobody's been able to fulfill it. Nobody's been able to do it. But these guys are. So I got to figure, how do they do that? It must be something spiritual.
Sure it is. Sure it is. Just like I said, it goes back to the Garden of Eden. It goes back, folks, it goes back to the fact that Satan wants to overthrow the earth. He wants to rule. He wants to be the guy. And so all of this is, you know, a conspiracy by Satan the devil. And it sounds like you guys were saying that, right? But it's the truth. Otherwise, how could all these things stay together? Same goal, same thing, different players, same goal, same plan, down through the ages. Go ahead.
Parents can't even get their children to follow in their footsteps. How do these clowns get a whole group of people to follow the same plan over thousands of years? I mean, honestly, answer that question. It's the same question. You know, it's like, okay, Hillary Clinton ain't having enough people to fill a bathroom at her rallies. Donald Trump's filling $80,000 seat stadiums, and this is a close race? How does that happen? Okay, you know, I mean, you've got to look at these things and say, now, wait a minute. This doesn't make sense. Something is off here.
Right, absolutely. Well, you know, going back to Hillary, that's really proof in the pudding, because if you really look at her, she really didn't even hardly campaign, you know what I'm saying, for the effort of running for president. And I noticed that with several people. You can tell they were just like Romney. He didn't really try against Obama. You know, if he would have tried, he could have won. There was lots of points somebody could have tore him apart, but he didn't. And look who they chose. Just like McCain, he wasn't supposed to win either. You know, although McCain might have thought he was, but he wasn't supposed to. And so, yeah, we see the same thing over and over. And the only way that could happen, there has to be something that, some same theme going all through that. And you know what? Hey, I believe it's Satan the devil and his minions. Well, Frank, tell them where the Frank Report's at, and then we'll leave and we'll come back and talk some more.
Oh, well, you folks listening to Dan, the same thing. Everything you did to listen to Dan, you can do to listen to me, except at a different time, 2 p.m. Pacific and 8 p.m. Pacific. They're both one-hour shows. Kind of do what Dan does with a bigger, you know, break in between. And I do that every day, except Fridays. I only do the daytime show on Fridays because I want to get my weekend started as fast as I can, you know.
Yeah, well, with you, look at it, Frank. You're working, folks. You're there all the time. The whole time the station's on, you're running the station, and so it ain't like you get to do 8 hours a day.
No,
not at all.
8 hours a day. You know, I thought about it. Well, hey, you got to take a break.
Hey, we got to take a break. We'll be back.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
As I try to figure out what this world is all about, I know one thing without a doubt, my Lord is in control. Careless times I know are here. I know.
From the Roman Emperor Constantine to the churches at the time of the Nicene Council leaves little doubt that Constantine hated the Jews and anything associated with them. Excerpts from Constantine's letter are as follows. Quote, "When the question arose concerning the most holy day of Easter, it was decreed by common consent to be expedient that this festival should be celebrated on the same day by all in every place. And truly, in the first place, it seemed to everyone a most unworthy thing that we should follow the customs of the Jews in the celebration. It is fit, therefore, that rejecting the practice of this people, we should perpetuate to all future ages the celebration of this rite in a more legitimate order. It is necessary that this fault should be so amended that we may have nothing in common with the usage of these parricides and murderers of our Lord. It should be considered that any dissension in a business of such importance and in a religious institution of so great solemnity would be highly criminal." End quote. While it is true that the Jews, with their many uprisings, had challenged the patience of the Roman Empire, Constantine, in his efforts to substitute the pagan festival of Easter in place of Passover, failed to recognize that the original members of the Christian faith, which he claimed to subscribe to, were in fact Jews who kept the commandments of God, and who accepted the Messiah, Jesus Christ. I'm Richard Reeves with Just the Facts. For more information, contact Partakers Publications, Post Office Box 23031, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227, or visit our website at www.toolong.com.
Folks, we are back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to, the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Well, folks, before we get back into it, get talking with Frank Stephan again. We got a good conversation going. I got a couple things to say about the Mission Church. First off, folks, we do really need your help. Messiah's Branch is like a home church with a building. We're called to do what we do. We help with the homeless and poor. We give out food, clothing, first aid, Bibles. We minister to them. We do, well, their needs are whatever they ask for when they come in the door. If we have a way to fill the need, then we fill the need. If not, we pray it in. But only people like you that help us is what's kept us going, for we're in our 19th year. And we, you know, we'll start our 20th year in June. So pray about supporting it. You know, we're not making tons of money over here. You know, I drive an old car. I'm not buying new vehicles. I drive a 1997 Ford F-150, which is, the trip over there is over 120 miles there and back, plus running around town. I drive a 1997 Ford F-150. That's a gas hog, but I have to have it because of the big bumper, because of the deer. But the point is it's got 330-some thousand miles on it. I've only paid $1,500 on it, and that's the most I've ever paid for a vehicle, for a car in my life. I have paid more for a motorcycle, honestly, way back when I was in the world. But the point is we're not over here making money off these people. We're over there taking care of them, and we're also informing you on radio. It takes a lot of work to keep to stay up on the news and to keep reading books, all these different guests that I have. And I do book interviews and all these things and try to stay accurate for you. because I believe, unlike a lot of people, I believe I'm responsible for what I say. If I have a guest on that really leads you astray, then I feel bad about it. But the point is, so it really takes a lot. Right now, you know, through a kind donation, we've gotten a new computer for this place, and we've got a new board. It isn't hooked up yet because everything's trial and error with me because I've taught everything myself by hand. I live way out here in a small little country town, and, you know, I just had to figure out things for myself, and I'm still doing it. I could use some website work really bad, but my point is we need your support. We really do need your help for food, clothing, and all these different things. And you're listening to radio. You enjoy the radio program? Are you getting informed out of it? We need sponsors. I really need a sponsor that would like to, maybe I could eat, if you have a product, maybe if it's the right thing, I could mention it on the air. But we need sponsors for radio. Right now, radio's doing another couple of days, and I still haven't paid this month's radio, and I really feel bad because the station needs our money. So, folks, remember, we are all responsible to care one for another, and we are our brother's keepers. All donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart, of course. Again, if you don't wish to help the homeless and poor, consider a donation for radio airtime. It's not free. Donations keep us on the air. Make sure if it's a radio donation, you mark it for radio. And we also say that if you are making a Passover donation, praying that you will, that you mark it for Passover. You can donate online or mail a check or money order or give a donation over the telephone. You can find all this information very simply at prophecyhour.com. And now we're back prayerfully with Frank Stephan. I know he's there. The station's still going. Talking. Are you there, Frank?
Yeah, yes or no? I am.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I got lost there for something. I was thinking, well, wait a minute. I know you're there because, see, folks, Frank, if you don't know it by now, Frank's also the producer of the show. So whenever the music comes on and all that stuff, well, that's Frank pulling the strings. So
being here
just in case, right? You know, but in case the thing. Anyway, well, I don't know. What do you want to talk about now? We could talk about what you thought about the Mueller report.
Well, I think, you know, it was a big, gigantic waste of time. You know, one thing I mainly think about the Mueller report, that would be Herr Mueller the Nazi, but the thing is, what has been accomplished? Okay, so Manafort's in jail, Flynn's in jail, or, you know, and they've got, okay, but what for? Well, financial crimes and process crimes, meaning process crimes means crimes that would not have been able to be committed unless there was this investigation, meaning the crimes were committed within the investigation itself, okay?
Right.
You know, it's like, you know, unless you come to my house, you can't rob my house, all right? If you weren't at my house, you wouldn't have robbed my house, right? Well, if there wouldn't have been an investigation, you couldn't be perjured in investigation. And the thing about it, folks, you know, the general population out there looks at it and goes, oh, my gosh, if I found guilty of perjury, we all know how bad that is. You lied under oath, you horrible, terrible man, you woman, you liar, you. Well, okay, in a normal sense, in normal people's lives, that would be true. Because the truth is, most people, when they're put under penalty, you know, under oath or perjury or anything, most people do tell the truth. Now, because
right.
Whether it's because they're honest or because they're scared to get caught, doesn't matter. They still end up telling the truth, right? So
right.
When they see anybody going to, you know, oh, you're convicted of perjury, you horrible, you know, thing. You know,
right.
Because everybody, you know, because if you get put under oath or something, generally you're in trouble. And I think most people out there would, if they thought they could get away with it or anything, I think they'd prefer to be able to lie. But
right.
They can't because they're too scared or they have morals or something like that. But these guys, they figure they got convicted of this. They're horrible, immoral liars, right? Well, that's not always the case, folks. Because I could say, Dan, what time did you eat lunch yesterday?
Yeah, I could say, well, at 12:15, but
really, then I'll go
out.
Thank you, Dan. No more out of you. No more talking. 12:15. That's what you said.
Right.
Now I'll go ask your wife. When did Dan eat lunch? And she goes, I don't know, maybe 10 after noon.
Yeah.
Oh, guess what, Dan? You're going to jail now. You're going to jail for perjury. You liar, you. You lied to me. You told me you had lunch at 12:15, and I have a witness here that says, actually, we asked your kid, too. And your kid said, yeah, I think it was 10 after. Two witnesses against you, you stinking liar. Off to the hooscow with you. That's how Herr Mueller runs his investigations. And it's not just this investigation. Mueller has done this sort of thing throughout his whole career. Okay? This is his way of doing things. So don't take any perjury convictions that with too much salt there because, you know, they're just crap. It's called a perjury trap is what they put you in. And they do it just that way. They'll ask you specific questions.
Years later, he has had some cases, and some of the same people that he had around him also doing an investigation had cases overturned because of the way that he did them. And they said in the long run, they said, yeah, it was underhanded, but it's too late. The guy has lost millions of dollars and is in prison.
That's right. And Weissman, I think, is the one you're talking about, because Weissman is the worst of the worst, and he was Mueller's basically second-hand man there. You know, he was the one, the go-to guy for Mueller, you know, and they've worked together before, and they are both criminals, okay, and that's the bottom line. But, you know, so Mueller, after 2 years, finds nothing, okay, because, oh, he found some bank fraud. Well, wait a minute. His investigation was authorized for two things, collusion and obstruction of justice.
Right.
And they found none of that with anybody. They found some 10, 15-year-old bank fraud crimes and some perjury trap stuff, but that's about it. Nothing else. Nothing of collusion. Nothing of obstruction of justice. And the bottom line is this whole thing, I don't even think the Mueller report was as much as let's get Trump. Because,
right,
you see, these guys knew before they ever started there's nothing on Trump. And the reason why they knew it, because a lot of people out there are nodding their heads going, yeah, I knew it too. Yeah, I knew it too. Well, you might have known it too, but you didn't know it too for the same reasons they knew it. Okay? You knew it because you believed Donald Trump didn't do these things. Maybe you had been watching the whole time and you go, I didn't see any collusion. You know, okay, maybe that's how you knew it. That's how I knew it. But see, how these guys knew it is because they manufactured all the evidence.
Right. It was a coup.
It was. It was. And they should be, well, they should be at least tried for that. I in my personal opinion, I think, yeah, sure, give them a fair trial if we, you know, if we have to waste time, more time, fine, give them a fair trial. I think it would do the American people good to see all the crimes they actually have committed. But the bottom line is, I'm more for not wasting time and money and just executing them. But that's, you know, not the country
and,
we live
in. That's you. In the reality of this, if it was a wartime situation and these guys, they are so bluntly red-handed, caught. Yeah, but you know what? Even though the people that are enforcing the law aren't maybe, you know, doing what they're supposed to be doing or whatever. Still, if we look at our country, that is what our country is supposed to be based on, that makes us different and set apart, that everyone is supposed to have a right to a free trial. And, you know, we're supposed to be, not saying we are, presumed innocence. I know the left flipped it around through this whole fiasco and said, No, you don't deserve to be presumed innocence and so on and so forth. But the point is, that is what makes America America, in my opinion.
Well, and they don't want America to be America. That's clear, you know, but the bottom line is, yes, okay, fine. I get the whole idea of due process and all that. But you know what? When certain people in power, because we're also supposed to have equal protection under the law, meaning that if it's illegal for Dan to do it, it's illegal for your congressman to do it too, okay? It's illegal for everybody. Everything is equal under the law, okay? And that's what the founders meant when they talked about equality. They obviously knew that everybody is not born with the same skill sets and everybody doesn't have the same, capacity to do certain things. They knew that. So they, do you think they lost their mind for a minute and started thinking everybody was equal? No. They were talking about what they were dealing with. They were setting up a country. That is a legal endeavor. Okay? Because the bottom line is, folks, the United States of America doesn't really exist. Okay? It's just on paper. The only thing that exists is the people. That's what exists. The people. The United States government, the state of Oregon, are all fictions. They're just little things we made up in our mind and wrote down on paper, and that's what we go by. Okay, that's great, but it doesn't really exist. The people exist. That's it. You know, and things have gotten pretty twisted.
Right. I agree totally, and that's the point. And so when the people, a law-abiding country really only works as long as, you know, we accept a nation of laws. But when you look at it at the lawless left, and I will say the lawless left, and by the way, folks, we were talking about in the first half of the program, Smollett or whatever his name is, Smellett, he's a perfect example of what you just said, Frank, you know, equal protection under the law, and he didn't get it. That shows that an upper class elite got away with it because another upper class elite, Michelle Obama, interceded into it. But that's the way it's – but anyway, saying that, that's what the other side wants. They are not accepting the law. They only want to do what law that they want to pick, and that means the country is going away because it only works when the whole country believes in the law, not just part. Back to you.
Well, and to speak to the elitist thing, there is a thing in the Constitution that says, you know, there shall be no titles of nobility. Well, you know, everybody, you know, looks at titles of nobility and goes, well, you know, that means you can't be, promoted to Duke or, whatever.
Right.
That's not what it means. Okay. Titles of nobility is a description of special privileges. Okay. Like to say, listen, if you are in this group of people, these laws do not apply. They apply to everyone except the people in this group. That is a title of nobility if you're in that group, okay? And this is going on in America daily, all right? And they've written it in the law. Well, let's see, if you're a homo, if you're a woman, if you're black, if you're Asian, if you're Latino, if you're, well, let's just cut to the chase and save some time. If you're anything except a white male, a straight white male, you have special protections under the law that just plain old straight white males do not have. This is why. And you haven't seen it. And you won't see it until they change the law. Hate crimes.
Right.
How many hate crimes have you seen charged against somebody committing a hate crime against a straight white male? None. None. The reason why it's none is not because, oh, nobody thought about it. It's because it won't fly under the law. Because the only people that you can commit a hate crime against are the protected special classes under the law.
Right.
You have
Thank
to be
you.
Listed. And that is a title of nobility. I'm sorry. And it should be stricken.
Well, you know, that's the same way as you have you noticed racism You know, these people are acting out there the most racist way that you can believe. And who's it racist toward? It's racist towards white people. We, they call us racist, but yet they do, like today, I seen there was a mayor, I think it was in Georgia, or it was a mayor or the governor that was running for mayor. He's a black man. And the signs on the outside of the meeting place for a public meeting was no press allowed unless you're black.
Yep.
Now, isn't that the same kind of signs they had back in the old days, but reversed?
Well, yeah, and the thing is, look, if it was a private meeting,
it wasn't.
Like, let's say me and Dan got together and we decided to make a group, and we decided, okay, we ain't having no black people in here for whatever reason. Well, that, to me, of course, that would be, you know, oh, my gosh, that's so horrible and this and that and the other thing. But as far as I'm concerned, I don't care. If it's your private little group and you want to do that, like the NAACP, hey, they're
right.
Still out there, right? And,
right.
You know, I don't have a problem with them existing. Fine. You're a bunch of racists that only deal with, you know, your race, and that's fine. I don't care. But when it
right.
comes to the government, no. If I'm not allowed to do it, then they're not allowed to do it. And that's my whole thing. Now, if they're allowed to do it and I'm allowed to do it, I don't have a problem with – look, I don't have a problem with people discriminating when it comes to who they want to hang around with, who they want to do business with, who they want to be friends with, and all that. People should be discriminating about that.
You right.
know? I mean, really, you should be, and you should be that way about who your children hang out with, too. But the thing
I
is,
am.
You know, I mean, it's like, oh, you know, but that, oh, discrimination's bad. Well, no, it isn't. But it is when it comes to government services, government functions, something that is supposed to apply to all of us equally, then it should apply to all of us equally. No special groups, no special privileges, no special protections, none of that. Just enforce the law. Look, all these things, oh, well, we have to put blacks in there because, you know, they were lynched and they were slaves and they were, you know, whatever else. And I don't dispute that. But you know what?
Right.
Hanging people without bringing them to trial is illegal regardless of what color you are.
Right.
You're not allowed right. to run out there and lynch anybody, okay?
Right.
So, you know, what's the purpose of the special laws?
Right. Well, you know what, in the word, in Matthew, it talks about how nation would rise, and Joel Richardson pointed this out the other day, folks, is that in there where it says nation shall rise against nation as part of the end time signs. But he looking up the words nation. It really, that isn't the original meaning of it. Nations means ethnics. You know, in other words, different races, people
well,
of different beliefs.
But,
and what are we seeing right now? Back to you.
Well, back in those days when that was written, that was what nations were.
Right.
They were a
right.
race, a race of the French, okay? The French live in France. The Spaniards live in Spain. Okay,
right.
You know, these are different people with different cultures. They're not the same, and they have their own nations, and that's how it used to be. And now, oh, well, we're the melting pot, which is fine, but it is unique, and we were the first, you know, when they say, well, America was this first great experiment that, you know, nobody'd ever done, and it's true, because all nations were based on race.
Right.
You know, and, you know, that's it. That doesn't mean that other races didn't come to the nation to trade and do all those things. Of course they did. It just means
right.
they were foreigners there because they were a different race. And America changed that and said, hey, doesn't matter where you come from. Once you get here, you got to become an American and live by our culture. But it doesn't matter what your race is. And no other nation did that before the United States did.
Right, and but that's my point. Is there we're seeing though, you know, I mean, you know, people are hating Mexicans, and Mexicans are hating white people, and black people are now being told they need to hate all. Everybody's told to hate white people now, and but my point is they, and it's actually part of Saul Alinsky's rule for radicals,
mm-hmm.
is they're driving wedges between
exactly.
all of us so that we'll fight each other.
Exactly, and that was my point about pointing out that, okay, look, you know, it's already illegal, it's always been illegal to just grab anybody and hang them without a trial. You
right.
know, it's just not allowed. It doesn't matter what color you are. It doesn't even matter if you're a citizen. Nobody's allowed to do that in this country. So what is the purpose of the special, oh, we have to put you in a special group because of that? Well, it is to do exactly what you just mentioned. It is to divide the people against each other so the nation will fall.
Oh, gee, that sounds like order out of chaos. You know, that's what they want. They want to create chaos so they can get order out of it and so they can rule everything.
But they're not going to get order, see? They've been deceived. And that's the sad thing about these people. You know, we look at them as our enemies, and they certainly are. But they have been deceived by Satan because they think they're going to have all these wonderful things, and all they're going to have is death.
Yeah, exactly. You know what? I've read the end of the book, and I know the devil has too, but he seems to think he's going to win, but that's what it's all about, and it's intensifying, intensifying, intensifying. And by the way, you said something about, isn't Oregon such a nice, wonderful place to live? I mean, it's not socialist up there, surely, is it?
Well, it depends where you live in Oregon, because we have 36 counties in the state, and only 7 of them are communist.
I like how you said only 7 of them are communists. Yeah, I bet that's the controlling ones, though, right?
Oh, it is. It's the ones that run the state government. But, you know, a lot of local governments kind of, you know, unless there's money that in there for them to have from the state,
right.
they don't pay much attention to what the state's got to say about anything down here. Because, you know, they're not communists as much down here. And you know what? A funny thing, too, you can look this up around the country, folks. They say, oh, you know, Hillary Clinton won the popular vote. Really? Well, if you look at the counties of America, okay, and those maps are on there, and this is a fun thing to do, and you might want to pass it around next time somebody says something like Hillary won the popular vote. You look at the county map for the country, and they'll show the states, and then they'll show the little counties, right? And they'll do the red-blue thing. You will be shocked.
Yeah, amen. I agree. I absolutely agree. And it's that's why they want to take away the Electoral College, because
yep.
the Electoral College stops being ruled by California and New York and a couple of other places. Well, Frank, we're really at the end of the program. I'm glad you came on with me. It was an interesting talk today, and, hey, it went real fast. So you have to come back on again, of course.
Well, today was a good day to do it because I just got my paperwork yesterday I wouldn't have been able to be on, anytime this week before now, I wouldn't have been able to. I had to get that done. So I'm glad to be on, Dan.
All right. Well, thanks for being on, and folks, tune into the Frank Report. I'll talk to you next week. All right. Be blessed. Bye-bye. Okay, folks, that's Frank Stephan. Really going and tune into the Frank Report. He's got something to say about everything, good source for information, absolutely. Anyway, folks, pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church and pray about supporting radio. We really do need your help. We're also asking for Passover donations. If it's for Passover, make sure you mark it as that. Same way with radio. So just pray about it. But remember, folks, there's poor people wherever you're at. Charity starts first inside your own home. You need to take care of those around you first, and that's where it starts at. And then if you've got a group or something in a local church, make sure you're supporting the people that are ministering to you. But after that, you know, if you have anything left over, if you've got a smidgen left over, send it our way because we could really use it. But folks, really remember, there is only one God. Who is he? He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. And he gave his life for our repentant sins. And he rose after 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. There are no other gods. There's no other path. Only through Yeshua HaMashiach. Remember, always, always, always be a blessing to others. Please pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That is praying for Yeshua's return, and the word requires it. So, Lord our God, Father, King, Universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that, Father, you would bless and keep them. and that your face would shine upon them, and that you would please be gracious to them and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch. We'll